Please rise for prayer. Christ Jesus, you came to serve and to give your life as a ransom for the many. Please forgive us our sinful ambitions for recognition within this world and at times even within this church. And help us to be more like you. Please create within us a new and clean heart, O God, that seeks to serve, to give of ourselves for the benefit of others. And as we do so, please empower us to speak the message of forgiveness and life in your suffering, death, and resurrection, O Jesus. For in you alone is there true peace with God and a place in heaven. In your name, Jesus, do we pray. Amen. Our meditation here for this day is largely based from our gospel lesson where we hear these words. Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept silent, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I thought something that I saw this past week was pretty interesting and telling. Professional football, the NFL, the National Football League, has just started out on their 2018-2019 season, just for 2 weeks now. They've only played two games, and yet already this past week, people have come out with their rankings arguing who they think is the best. Number one. Things really haven't changed that much from the time of our gospel lesson reading, have they? The disciples were caught arguing about which of them personally was the best, the greatest. Last week we heard about how earlier when Jesus had told them that the Christ had come to suffer and die at the hands of men, Peter had gone ballistic and denied that possibility. The idea of someone with great power and position serving did not seem to make sense to them. Well, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus again tried to teach his disciples. As they journeyed together privately, he told them again, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." This is the work of the Savior in a nutshell. Jesus is going to save the world by suffering the world's judgment upon the cross, dying in the world's place, and rising again to give to all who believe upon him real and lasting life. This, again, doesn't seem to be what's on the disciples' mind. They hadn't been talking about how Jesus had come to serve and to give his life. They were instead focused upon themselves. We hear in our gospel lesson, "And when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, 'What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?' And they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest." They had argued with one another on who would be known as the greatest of them. They were still thinking about themselves and what they would get, rather than about using what they had been given in order to serve others. You see, by nature, the Almighty God of heaven and earth has what we might call a servant's heart. He created Adam and Eve, as we looked at in the Bible study, so that he might care for them. He created man in his own image, that man might serve one another, creation and their children. When people sin, God did not respond with raw power and destroy them. Instead, he promised a savior. In other words, God promised that he would serve them by doing all the work demanded so that they and we might be saved. It was out of love and in real service to us that Jesus had come. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God showed his great love and power by choosing to serve us when no one else could, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Christ Jesus won that with his suffering and death upon the cross, and he wants to give that unto all who repent and believe. That's how God continues to serve us. He serves us this forgiveness he won as he comes here to this worship service. Some people I know view church as just a time to come and parade before others and to perform before God, but some call worship divine service, where God comes and serves us that forgiveness that we desperately need and which only he can truly provide. God, who is great, serves. I know we, by our own sinful nature, so often measure greatness in a completely different way. Greatness is achieved when you have so much power that you are being served by others. The more people you have under you, the greater you are. When man thinks of greatness, he thinks of being looked up to by others. That's one of the reasons why our world idolizes movie stars and rock singers and professional athletes. The old Adam looks at wealth and publicity and an entourage and says, now that's really great. You see, there is quite a difference in how we each look at things. When sinful man looks at a king, he says, it must be great to rule over other people like that and always get your way. Yet when God looks at a king, he says, I've made you a king so that you can serve all these people entrusted to your care. Children by nature look to their parents and say, it's no fair to be the kid. You just boss us around and make us do everything. Parents, meanwhile, look at their children and say, it must be great to be a kid since we do practically everything for you. While God looks at families and says, parents, I've given you children so you can serve them by providing for their needs and teaching them my word. Children, I've given you parents to take care of you. And as you honor your father and mother, you are learning how to serve. You see, the measure of greatness is completely opposite between God and man. Jesus says, in service to the world, I'm going to suffer and die to redeem the world. He set aside power to serve, to give his life. That's the greatest service. By their arguing with one another about who is the greatest, the disciples were saying, suffering and dying isn't great. Rising up to be powerful is great. So which one of us will be the greatest of Jesus' disciples? Which one of us will have the most power and authority? They were thinking about themselves and their own positions of power rather than having the mindset of God and service. Jesus had then said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Wow. Greatness is found in service. Being best is found in being last. What does this mean? In God's eyes, it makes perfect sense because he serves. And he created us to be like him, to serve. Jesus then took a little child into his arms and said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. This too sounded foreign to the 12. Taking care of kids doesn't sound that great. And today, it's still that way. As society says that child care is best left to someone outside the family because moms need to pursue greatness out in the workplace, yet Jesus declares that giving of yourself in service to children is great service. He has come to serve the world, children included, to take away their sins and give them eternal life. The 12 are to follow that example and serve even the lowliest and the smallest of society. No, please note, Jesus is not telling them to give the children everything that they want. They will go out and receive even little children in Jesus' name by bringing Jesus to them all, even the smallest, through his means of grace. God himself is serving there, pouring out the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus on the cross. That's how we are seen as doing great work in and for the Lord's kingdom. Every once in a while, we'll see someone who becomes famous for real service. When Mother Teresa died after years of service in the slums of Calcutta, the response by so many seemed to be, "We need more people like her, as long as it's not me." That's not what we hear in our Bible readings. We love because he first loved us. And we show real love to God as we serve one another. We remember his love. God has already completed all that's necessary for our salvation. We are saved solely because the Lord has served us by his death on the cross for all of our sins. He continues to serve us by providing all we need in this body and life, by providing forgiveness and life in his means of grace, his word in communion, in baptism. This sinless and holy, all-powerful God loves us. Wow! And in response to that great love that he has shown unto us, we are set free from our self-centeredness to be a servant. The Lord has placed you where you are to be a servant in that place. Parents are given to serve their children. Children, their parents. Husbands are to serve wives. Wives are to serve husbands. Employees serve companies and customers. Employers serve employees. Church members serve one another rather than seeing who's on top when the dust settles. Whatever positions or vocations you have, the Lord has placed you there ultimately to love and to serve. We use what we have been given to love and to serve. The Lord may give you skills, assets, and wealth. Should he do so, then rejoice that the Lord has entrusted these things to you so that you can serve others. On the other hand, if you have little in the way of material things, still rejoice that the Lord has put you where you are and use those to serve with what you do have. That's the life of a Christian. Set free from sin by Jesus, the servant who suffered the cross for us. We are set free to serve wherever the Lord has placed us. And an important area of servanthood that the Lord points out in our gospel lesson is especially service to children. As parents at home each day, we have a great many opportunities to serve our children. Food, clothing, home, manners, good behavior, all of this is part of what we render and teach. However, as you care for your children's body and mind, do not neglect his or her soul. Please read the true Bible stories. Recite the parts of the small catechism. Pray with them. Talk about the good news about Jesus' suffering and death for our sins. As they continue to hear God's word, their faith is being fed and strengthened and built up. Tell them again and again about how Jesus suffered and died for them and their sins upon the cross and continues to serve them with forgiveness now. It's great to bring your children or grandchildren to Sunday school regularly, yet they need more. You wouldn't say, since the school hot lunch program feeds my child once a day, I don't need to provide any food at home. You wouldn't say, since my child gets one Bible story a week at church, that's enough. Would you? The greatest service you can render to your child is to teach them the Word of God. I know, it's not an easy calling all the time. For by the time work and school is done, it can be hard to get motivated to study a bit more for parents as well as for kids. But given how much the devil and our sinful flesh hates the word, would you really expect it to be any different? please, teach your children of the Lord's love and rejoice together with all the Lord continues to provide us. Receiving the little children is also played out here on Sunday morning at Sunday school. Sunday school is an often overlooked treasure, which can be thought of as a place to park the children while the adults are doing something else. It is far more than that. It is an opportunity for children to be nurtured in the word of the Lord. And where the word is present, the Lord himself is present. I wish to take this opportunity here this morning to thank and encourage our Sunday school teachers. These are unsung servants here who go the extra mile to teach our precious little ones. May we make sure that we make use of their services, for there is little more disheartening than to prepare a lesson for children who do not arrive that Sunday. And this also includes our preschool teachers and helpers here, when they daily bring the word of God unto the ears of these precious little lambs. May we serve these teachers with our thanks for their sacrificial service unto the future leaders, musicians, workers, and pastors of the church. Yes, our individual place within this world, as well as our place within this church, is not to make a name for ourselves, to see who is recognized as the greatest. If we focus upon ourselves or the things that this world focuses upon, such as just raising funds or providing entertainment or using only politically correct language and images or inward fighting with one another to try to come out on top, then we will have lost sight of what we have been called to do. I personally am still looking forward to watching some of the football games later today. I'm not watching just to see who is number one, but to enjoy some of the plays and the workings of the teams together and to cheer them on so that they do that together. And I think the same thing can be said for those of us that are here at Shepherd of the Hills. When we look to the work of the building of the kingdom of God, taking the gospel good news message of Jesus unto other people, our family, and then others, when we serve in this fashion together, well, the Lord can do excellent things to, for, and with us. For we are not working for a pennant that will wear away or a ring that will rust, but we are looking to the crown that will never fade, which is ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. He, Jesus Christ, truly is the greatest. Amen. With that in mind, won't you now join with me in singing about that love in and for Christ as we join